Good morning, church. Glad you guys braved it. It is such a balmy day here in central Indiana. I don't even know how to describe that. Like, nothing like knowing that we've got all sorts of fun as far as cold temperatures and snow. And just, I saw a social media post that said, you know, winter is coming all at once, all of it. Just, you know, I was like, well, that seems about right now. So we are in Mark chapter 16. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 8. It's weird. Chris and I were talking about this just earlier this week, actually, and we have concluded our sermon series through the book of Mark. It's like, now what? Kind of moment. Not in a bad way, but like, oh my gosh. Like, we've been doing this for so long, and we have... He and I have each really enjoyed doing this. We have grown through really seeing what the Gospel of Mark says. If you've been a part of our small group and you're digging in, we're seeing actually what's beautiful about that is we're digging into all of the other Gospels as well as we see what's happening in Mark, and we're seeing all of these other accounts that take place, and we're just learning so much about who our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. And today we're taking a look at the pinnacle of what happened at this moment, at this time in history, this key hinge pin for all that we have, the resurrection. So if you would, let's go ahead and dig into Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. Scripture says, "When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very, very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, when they went to the tomb, and they were saying to one another, 'Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?' And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed and said to him, 'Do not be afraid.' And he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you.' And they went out and fled from the tomb, and for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." Go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for this moment in history. We thank you so much for this gift of life over death through the resurrection. We thank you so much for this in your word and how we can really experience who Jesus is when we see this. Father, I pray that as we enter into this time of worship through the hearing of your word, that you would put me aside, that it be your words and not mine, that it would be you speaking to the hearts of your people through your word, and you would just move in our lives, you would convict us, challenge us, grow us, bring us closer to you. It's in Jesus' precious holy name I pray, amen. All right. So have you ever just pondered and just asked yourself, what is the bottom line of what it means to come to Christianity? When we're talking about what is that underlying foundational concept, what is the one belief about Christianity that sets it apart from all other faiths, all other religions, all other mindsets? What is that one thing that does that? And it is this moment. It is this moment that we see written down, recorded here in Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. It is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And understand this, that everything that we have is foundational on this one moment. That if the resurrection is true, then there are other things that we must accept as well. That we have to accept that there is a God. And we have to accept that Jesus is that God. We have to accept that the Bible is true, that heaven and hell are real, and it is Jesus who makes the difference whether you go to one or you go to the other. But all of that begins at this moment, the resurrection. It is honestly this simple. Christianity stands or falls on this one thing, the historical bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If there is no resurrection, there is no Christianity. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, 17 that, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Nothing we have works without the resurrection. So you can believe in God. You can even believe that Jesus is God. And you can believe the Bible is true. You can believe in heaven and hell. But you do not, but if you do not believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, you do not have salvation. You have a set of beliefs that don't do anything without the belief of the resurrection and knowing it's true in your heart, knowing it's true in your soul, knowing it's true because it is true. As Mark records the witness of the resurrection, we see two of the women who were witnessed Jesus' death at the cross come to the tomb where he was buried, right? We see Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and they bring along with them another disciple, Salome, who was a follower. And along with them, they bring these spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. The Marys knew exactly where Jesus was buried. They were there with Joseph of Arimathea and the others that brought Jesus' body to the tomb. They knew where this was all at. And they knew that there was a stone covering the door, because they were talking about it. But they wanted to show this one final act of devotion by perfuming Jesus' body here at the end. So they're up early on the very first day of the week. They're concerned about the tomb covering the door. We see them talking about it in verse 3. And when they get to the tomb, they are quite surprised when they arrive.